Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
And I'm Clayton Hunt.
And with us today, we have Maria Nagaga. Maria is a developer and artist. She's a program manager on the Visual Studio and .NET team, where she explores ways to engage and teach new developers about .NET open source software. Welcome, Maria.
Thanks for having me.
So Maria, first and foremost, what is a program manager and what is it you do on the Visual Studio and .NET team?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. A program manager, if you go to other companies, we're called all sorts of things, product manager, I believe, at Google and AWS, but at Microsoft, we're called program managers. And what that is really about is you set the goal of where the product should be going and how do we maintain and keep our existing products. What I do specifically at Microsoft, especially on the Visual Studio and .NET team, is I figure out how to get net new developers onto the .NET platform. So this means using .NET, using Visual Studio, whether it's on Mac or Visual Studio Code. It's really exposing them to this .NET experience. And I've done that in two separate ways. The first way I did it is working with boot camps and training providers and schools right across the United States and figuring out how to get .NET onto their platform. And teaching them in the schools, because when you look at the job market, there's so many .NET jobs. And, you know, it's always good to actually create experiences for people where they can go and start earning money and developing a career. The next thing I work on is try.NET. And try.NET is a way for you to start building ASP.NET cores and C# and .NET applications in the browser. So the way that was born is when I talked to brand new developers as a technical evangelist, as a PM, not only net new developers, but even people who are new to the ASP.NET, .NET platform was installing the tools takes too much time. I really just want to get my hands dirty with the code and then I'll make the commitment to the tools. And that's why we built try.NET.
So with the release of .NET Core, it seems like there's a reinvigoration of the .NET ecosystem. A lot more people are getting involved. We're now truly cross-platform and doing really exciting things on a variety of different systems. Is that right?
Absolutely. And it's just growing. Because like if you look at ASP.NET Core 2.0, I don't know if either of you have gone to the .NET website recently. Have you seen the number of distros that are supported these days for Linux? It's just like, wow, it just keeps on growing. And with that, it brings a whole bunch of new developers. It also gives our current developers flexibility on how they can build a new .NET application. So you're not tied to Windows anymore. You can build your .NET Core application anywhere. And I think that's pretty fascinating. Like I can do IoT projects and do things on the Raspberry Pi. I can do gaming. The opportunities are just huge right now. I think it's a really exciting time to start, you know, exploring .NET more.
Yeah, I saw Scott Hanselman's post about doing a cluster on a set of Raspberry Pis with .NET and I think Kubernetes.
Yeah,
recently that and so got me thinking about what kinds of projects are there out there that you know we can start exploring and start exploiting and how we might actually put them to great use.
Oh, absolutely. And that demo was hilarious. You should check it out on Channel 9. I think the entire presentation was like, I don't know what I'm doing, which was also pretty funny. But yeah, it is interesting because who would have thought that, you know, let's even say 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that you could do that with .NET, that people could think about using .NET for art projects. So I think at the end of his demo, he has this thing where he sets up a bunch of LEDs that he throws over his cluster, which is a tower of Raspberry Pis. And it just blinks and he's like, Vegas, right? That was huge. It was really funny because that was all built with .NET powering every single part of that application.
Clayton and I were just at a conference in Huntsville, Alabama recently where We were speaking, both of us speaking on different topics. At the speaker's dinner, I was sitting with some people that I hadn't met until that evening, and they were really talking about kind of the opportunities to teach young folks in high school and middle school and even younger. So what are and where are the opportunities to get involved? I know you do a lot of work in the community and help in reaching out to younger folks. How could regular developers get involved?
There are programs, but I always think, first of all, start within your community. One of the things that I want to do this fall during the Hour of Code is that in my neighborhood, there's a middle school and there's a high school. So I actually sent an email to the principals at both schools saying, you know, I live in the neighborhood and I would like to come in and just teach your kids basic things, like teach them computer science, like what does it mean and what could you do with it? Teach them how to build their first website or game. And sometimes you can take your .NET skills. You can also just learn a new one, like go and learn Scratch or GameMaker, because that's really huge with middle school and elementary school. And then for high school, you have this really interesting opportunity where you can say, okay, I'm going to teach you how to build a website. And then we're going to actually make your website do stuff. And you can use this for your portfolios or letting people know about your latest movies, right? Creating your online presence where you're actually responsible for that is pretty impressive. And I love that opportunity. In terms of programs, there are so many great programs. I've worked with Black Girls Code. I've worked with Girls Develop. I've worked with another one. It's escaping me right now. But it's in the Bronx, and it will come to me and I'll be like, ah, that's the name of the program. And it started at the back of a gentleman's garage where he was like, I want to give something back to the community. So he invited all these developers from all across New York. And he's like, please come in and teach the kids in my community. And that's been my favorite so far. And right now I'm completely blanking on the name, which is terrible. Oh, it's Code Interactive. It's Code Interactive. That's the name of the program.
Fantastic.
We already run a meetup. And we have a decent following, but are there any programs available where the content is already ready, or what kind of support does Microsoft provide for like if we wanted to hold an event like a one day code camp kind of thing?
Oh, that's a great question. So there's an internal program. That's the wrong word. So if you go to the .NET Foundation website. We're actually doing this thing where we are supporting communities that want to run a local meetup and, you know, host events and figure out ways to better support them there. So if you go over to the website, you'll get more information about that. So that is at .NETfoundation.org, and it will show you how you can get meetup sponsorship and shows how we're working with places like Open Collective that deals with all our accounting and also can help you raise money for your event. The whole concept of Open Collective is to provide open source projects the financial needs they need to actually go in and build their projects, as well as support meetups in raising money as well. So we work very closely with them. So the .NET Foundation is a great place to start getting involved with that. Not only that, the .NET Foundation will be releasing a series of workshops that will provide you with 4 to 6 hours worth of content that can teach you how, like, you can leverage in your meetups, your workshops, go and teach them in high schools, go and teach them to people in your community. And these will all be ready for you, and they'll all be on GitHub. We'll be more than happy. I'll be more than happy to share that with you as well.
That'd be fantastic.
So it does exist. It's just all over the place right now.
Yeah, we've actually had pretty good support in the community. We have great speakers coming in from within the city and regionally as well. We've had great sponsors providing things for our giveaways and sponsors providing the location for the meetup and for food. We were hosting at the Iron Yard in downtown St. Pete. Yeah. We're really, really sorry to see them go, but looking forward to great things coming out of the individuals that were involved in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as Clayton and I continue, traveling around and doing speaking engagements and also seminars and lectures and training opportunities, those are the kinds of things that we really like to see is, you know, a really active community and, you know, all kinds of help from different foundations, .NET Foundation and others.
So speaking about communities, I think it's also really important, and this is something that we also realized, is that we want to make sure that we're also growing our community in different age groups and demographics. And I think that's really important as well, right? We want to make sure that, you know, 20 years from now, .NET still has a thriving community, right? And I found that working with net new developers, one of my favorites is Code Newbie. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Yeah.
So Code Newbie is a podcast and an online space where people can go and ask developer questions. And they also have a Twitter chat and it's great. And I would love to see more .NET people getting into that space as well. Because my friend runs it and she's like, oh, she's had so many things of people asking questions about .NET and then there are no .NET developers on the Twitter chat. It would be another one that I would definitely watch out for.
And that's, I know I'm going to butcher the name, but Saron?
Yes. Saron Yedorek. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. She was on JavaScript Jabber.
Yes. She's awesome.
So Maria, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got involved and how you got to where it is that you are today and you know, the types of opportunities that you grabbed a hold of or the obstacles that you had to overcome or you know, what kind of advice might you have for others looking for a similar code path or what might you advise people towards or away from?
Oh, apps. Yeah, okay. Oh, that's a big one. I love that question because you're just like, people are going to listen to me and think it's law. my developer story is really different from most people I've met, where most people who are on my team, most developers I know, both women and men, they've been writing code or interested in computer science or since they were kids. I didn't write my first line of code until I was 21. And I discovered it purely by accident. I was messing around on my computer at home and I accidentally right clicked on a website and view source. And I saw this really random, junky looking piece of code. And I was like, one, first of all, what is that? And what can I do with it? So I actually saved it in Notepad, run it again. I was like, this kind of looks like the page I was looking at. I wonder if I changed it around, what would happen? And that was my first intro to coding, purely and absolutely by accident. So if I hadn't right-clicked view source that day, I don't know if I would be a developer right now.
Oh, wow.
I don't think, because I was a history major. I had a history degree and I was just like, this is my path. Maybe go to law school. And I got really interested. I tweaked and tweaked and tweaked this really weird Notepad thing that when I saved it, it had .htm. And I was like, what is this? But I kept on tweaking at it. And I was like, okay, I had no idea what tags were. I had no idea what I was doing. And my first editor was Notepad. So that's the first experience I ever had in code. And based on that, I was like, I wonder what I could do with this. So I decided to go and do a diploma in software engineering. This was when I was home in Uganda. And I did really well on that. And my parents were just like, why don't you go to university and do this? So I applied to a couple of universities and I got into Dalhousie University. That's in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Have either of you heard of it?
I've heard of Halifax.
Okay, that's a start. That is a start. Because I've met Canadians who are just like, where's Halifax? So the fact that you guys know Halifax, that's a plus. In Halifax, I did computer science and I did a major in biomedical engineering, which I do not use today, but I absolutely loved doing it. I thought I'd build robotic arms and create the next evolution of prosthetic arms and all that kind of stuff. Maybe one day I'll go back to it, but that's what I did. And the way I really learned, you know, writing code and the things I would strongly encourage people to do, and I know it's not easy at all, is try to get as many internships as possible. So where I went to school, you needed four internships to graduate. So I had to graduate. I had to get the internships. But that's where I really learned how to put my theory into practice. That's how you learn about things like unit testing and debugging, because in school, all you did was, what do you want me to do? Write it out. If it runs, it runs. If it doesn't run, I'll just write it all over again until I figure it out. And I worked as an intern at BlackBerry. Don't laugh. This was before the iPhone, but I absolutely loved it. This was before the iPhone, so I had a really, really, really good internship. Yeah, everyone was envious of me. Not that I'm bragging at all. And I worked on the BlackBerry Torch, which was the one that slid up. And then I went back to BlackBerry for a second internship where I worked on the Playbook, which was a bit of a fail because we built the front end in Flash and then Flash died. And then after that, I worked at, I worked at Telus, which is a telecommunication company. And I did architecture for the first time. So I was an enterprise architect. And it was really interesting to see, wow, what you actually use in your architecture is important. Like, you just can't throw a bunch of things together. It needs to make sense. And it also I also learned about policies. Like, I couldn't just randomly use anything I wanted. I had to make sure that it went through a threat model. I had to make sure that it went through security reviews. There was a deployment test. Like, it was all these different things that I had never had any exposure to, but were very real world. Finally, I ended up at Microsoft, where I got a full-time position right out of college. And I don't think I would have achieved that if I hadn't had those different experiences. So I was a PM, a dev, and an architect. And I had those opportunities. And then for my last internship, I was a researcher.
Yeah, sounds like you ran through someone's whole career in four internships.
Yeah, I was given the best advice by my research professor, because I wrote a machine learning algorithm before ML was really a thing. But I remember he told me, never do the same job twice. If you're going back to a company or doing an internship, this is going to be the only opportunity where you can go in and just try random stuff and just say, do I like it? And all it is 4 months. So that would be my biggest advice. Just if you can get an internship, really, it's, to me, it's one of the best experiences that you can have. But I do understand that that's not an opportunity that everyone can grab.
Yeah, I was recently speaking with a young woman at a code camp after a presentation, and she was asking advice. She and a couple of the other attendees in that particular presentation were involved in a code school. I've forgotten the name of it now, but they were talking. They were going through a Python program and doing JavaScript and .NET eventually, and you know, looking for advice and how to break into a career in software development. And it's going to continue to be difficult, I think, for software developers and probably for anyone trying to break into an industry. You know, companies are going to continue to look for senior level talent for an entry level position for intern level pay with 10 years of experience. And how do you get that? Internships would be a fantastic avenue. I wish more companies offered that.
Yeah, me too. I also wish more programs, because I found out not every university does it. And I was just like, you are at a disadvantage. But programs in general, with a lot of boot camps springing up, like a lot of people going to boot camps to learn a new skill. One of the things that Microsoft has done, and I didn't even know they were doing this till recently, and I think it's a great program, is the LEAP program. So first of all, we understand that learning everything about engineering in 8 to 12 weeks, that's a lot. There's only so much you can cover, right? It's like from drinking from the fire hose. It's like, whoa, taking all this information. To help that out, to improve that experience as well, Microsoft created something called the LEAP program. And what the LEAP program does is that it works with boot camps. You still have to apply and you still have to get in, and it's pretty intense. But what the LEAP program does, I believe for about 3 months, no, it's actually more than 3 months. I think it might be 6 months. I'd need to check. They put students coming out of boot camps into a rotational program at Microsoft. And I believe it's paid as well, or you get a stipend. And you get to work with the Visual Studio team. You get to work with the Azure team, the Office team. And they train you, and you learn about how do you file bugs? How do you triage? How do you do unit testing? And then depending on how successful you are in the project, the program, you actually get the opportunity to interview with the teams that you actually did this rotation with. So the Visual Studio team actually just made an offer to a to, I forget her name, but she went through Epicodus, went through the LEAP program, and is now a full-time engineer on Azure. I think she might be on Azure Functions. I need to check, or Azure Stack. I can't remember, but that's a great success story.
So I think you had mentioned the try.NET experience. Did you want to maybe cover a little bit about what that is?
For anyone who's listening, if you go to try.net, and I know that is such a long URL, but it's try.dot.net. It was really clever when we thought about it at the time. When I think back, nope. Try.net is a playground where you can start experimenting with C#, getting an output. So if you've been to CodePen or JSBin, have either of you tried that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And .NET Fiddle, I believe, is one of them as well. It's the same experience. It's a similar experience. And we will actually be putting out a document pretty soon on how we built that. We're still tweaking some of the things that we've done, but we're using a lot of Azure containers to actually spin up in a unique environment, which helps with security a lot, right? Because you think about, oh, how easily could someone take over this space? And if you want to see it in practice, if you go to docs.microsoft.com and go to .NET and go to Quick Start, you can see how you can look at, okay, this is how I build a Hello World application. Do you want to try it here in the browser? You just copy and paste the code over, or you can just write console.writeline, hit run, and you have that experience right there. Because if you look at documentation today, it's really rich, it's really detailed. And then all of a sudden it says, copy and paste this snippet somewhere. And you're just like, where is this somewhere that I copy and paste this snippet into? Try.net is bridging that gap. It's giving you the opportunity, instead of like copying and pasting it into an editor or a IDE. And for new developers, that might be overwhelming. Or for even developers who are just know maybe Python or JavaScript and say, I just want to try this C#.NET thing out. You can experiment with it without even downloading a tool. And when you're ready to download a tool, we'll be there for you as well.
So it looks like that website is running a just your standard program.cs with a main function in it.
Yeah.
What are the limitations? Could we host an API service from there somehow?
It's like you can see into the future. Yes, you will be able to do that. Right now, no, because we're limiting it to very simple experiences, like very simple workloads, because we're just doing some more security checks. We want to make sure that everything is okay. But we are exploring things with third-party partners on scenarios like that. So you will be able to do that by the end of the year.
And the more important question is, can we change it to dark theme?
Yes, you can. If you go to, I love when people ask this question. If you go to try.net/docs, and please do not judge us on the website. It's going to be getting a lot better. I just haven't had time to sit down and improve the UI, but I do have all the CSS ready to go and the HTML. You'll see an option to change the theme. We also are introducing an option to customize the theme. So I love the Solarize theme. Do you guys use it?
No.
I use Darkula.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh. Okay. That's another one we should think about adding. But like being able to have that level of customization, yes, we do support that because it's built on Monaco, and then we've added additional theming on top of that.
All right. That's really cool.
So continuing our theme of looking into the future, and we've bridged the gap now to run on different OSs. We're running in the cloud, putting things in containers, and running them on refrigerators or whatever the case may be. What is the next great frontier? What is the, you know, what would be the next big push that we should be looking forward to? Is it something to do with getting us to Mars, or what are the things that we should just be dreaming big about right now?
Getting us to Mars would be a big one. Stealing your idea. Another really big one is that we need more AI, right? I think that's the really next milestone for .NET, is creating richer AI experiences. So I would love it if I did file new project and it was an AI template and I just added my AI experience with a key, right? That would, for me, would be the next logical step, the easy reach. I would love to see .NET in self-driving cars. being able to do stuff like that with your Tesla. I think Tesla might, no, I have no idea what Tesla uses. I'm not even going to try to lie about that. First thing, more AI integration, more AI templating within .NET, the .NET Core, .NET experience, more stuff with easy lift and shifts, right? We want to make sure that our existing customers can easily take advantage of all this cool stuff, right? Like take advantage of Docker, take advantage of Angular, making it much easier for people. Thinking really, really, really big, I would love like the first mission to Mars. Having that experience, like not since you thought about space, that's all I can think about. I just want to think about space and augmented reality and being able to build a .NET application where we are creating cities, maybe with HoloLens and Minecraft and using that for architecture that can build cities in places that we've never been before and planets that we've never been before. That would be an awesome thing to do .NET with.
So open up a command prompt and .NET new Skynet.
Yes, Skynet. Jesus. Yeah, that would be the next frontier for me. Oh, another frontier is like having a bunch of, now you got me excited, having a bunch of special effects, which are all, you know, .NET powered. Now that would be cool because I feel like we're kind of missing in the creative space quite a bit.
Well, Maria, do you have any other advice for those looking to get started in the industry?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are two big things. First of all, don't be afraid to ask questions. There's a huge thing where, especially new developers or people learning to code or younger engineers on a team will be terrified about asking about things because they'll be like, oh, people will judge me. I had a principal software engineer ask me what Bootstrap was. And I was like, wow, I can ask any question now. I think that's cool. And this was like, and I was terrified to ask this person about how orchestras worked. And so I always say, you know, everyone has something to learn from somebody else. So always ask questions and don't be intimidated by people's experience. Secondly, contribute to repos. Like that could be a way to kind of get familiar with code more, how code works in the real world. Go to GitHub, look for people who have first timers only or your first pull request and look at those places to kind of get familiar and excited and confident about contributing to open source. And you never know who you might meet there. I think the creator of First Timers Only got his foot in the door by just fixing something on the Angular repo. And that got him a job. I think that's huge. So I think that's my biggest advice to people getting into the industry.
So Marie, do you have any other upcoming speaking engagements or any other exciting news you'd like to share with us?
The next big thing is Connect for me, and I'm going to be presenting a demo, which is going to be 5 minutes worth of content that takes you about 2 weeks to do, which is awesome. A lot of stress goes into that time. After that, the next big conference for me is NDC, and that's NDC London. And I am terrified because I hear it's one of the most elite .NET conferences out there. So it's going to be a pretty interesting one. And I'm going to be talking about how we built Try.NET.
Well, good luck to you there.
Thank you.
All right, Maria. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This has been awesome.
That was Maria Nagaga. Maria is a developer and artist. She's a program manager on the Visual Studio and .NET team, where she explores ways to engage and teach new developers about .NET open source software. You can find her on Twitter at Lady Nagaga. This has been the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
And I'm Clayton Hunt.